Well, tonight, as you've already been alluded to, is going to end our series. Now, I've had an elated week. I've just had a great week, ladies and gentlemen. And tonight, I'm going to do something a little bit different. Actually, a couple little things. Number one, I'm going to stay basically right behind here. Now, I like to, listen, I would rather be right down there, all right? I like to look to your eyes, and you look at me and whatnot. And it's just, that's the way I like to do things. But nonetheless, for the recording, I thought maybe if I stay up here, it would be a little bit better. So, well, what's up with that, okay? That's okay. Number two. I want to tell you, I've had a great week. Just a great week. What a wonderful week to be with brethren here and to praise God. And I would like to just name, you know, just some things that we did this week before we jump right into this, ladies and gentlemen. Sunday, I pulled in here in the parking lot about 3:30 a.m. in the morning. Well, most of you probably were still in bed, okay? And I wanted to make sure, driving from Columbus, where we landed, after a couple of delays and whatnot, getting in very, very late, that, well, let's make sure that I'm going to the right direction. And I didn't want to wake up Sharon or Dave. Now, they said it would have been okay, but I did not wake them up. But I got my bearings straight. And then around 8 o'clock, it was about 8:01, I went over and I knocked on the door. Never met Dave before, never met Sharon before. And I said, Danny Allen. And he just looked at me. And I said, Danny Allen, again, okay? And he was very friendly and whatnot. I said, can I get a hot shower? You know, just like that. You know, I said, I need to get a hot shower, okay? And they just, well, come on in here and whatnot. So it just worked out great. And then we got talked for a little bit, and they brought me over here, and we got situated, and off we go. But that's what a brothers or sisters are supposed to do, isn't it? Now, in Romania, I don't get hot showers, okay? All right? You get whatever you get, but that's okay, because I'm thankful. Out there in that village and whatnot, they don't have hot showers. So you do what you do. But nonetheless, I know if there might be some brethren that's been to Romania out in the villages, and you know exactly what I'm saying. But anyway, after services, we went to the Golden Corral, and Andy and Carol, they were so just gracious and treating Jordan and I. My son's with me. He's in eighth grade, and I'm so thankful to have him with me. Last time, my daughter Jasmine was with me when I was here. Whenever I do my traveling, wherever I go, on meetings, I take one of my children with me. That's a good thing, ladies and gentlemen, because they'll remember that for the rest of their lives. When I'm dead and gone and buried, they'll remember Dad. They'll remember Mom. That's just the way it should work. Include your family. Don't exclude them, okay? Include them. So any of them, they treated me and thank you. And not only did that, they let me stay with them all week. I mean, even Corky and Lily, they're cats. And they were a little jealous, because they weren't getting all the attention, but we got to be there. Andy, Carol, we love you very much. Very, very much. And then Tuesday came, and I got to go to the preacher's house. I knew where he lived, okay? And what a wonderful meal. And Sharon said, quit thanking me for the meal. You know, it must be just an everyday occurrence over there. But nonetheless, it was a wonderful meal, and I got to be with them, and I really enjoy them. David, Sharon, you're doing marvelous work here. I hope God will grant you many years to labor here and save souls in this area. May God receive the glory with that. But thank you so much, you all, for the invite. And they're helping many other people, you know, out around here, as you know. Yesterday, Randy and Deidre got to take me out, a little restaurant right down the road from here, called The Dolphin, and it was outstanding. Oh, my goodness, just so I tell you, these preachers, we have it bad, don't we? I mean, we got it really bad. I mean, I'm extrapolating here, so, I mean, but it's pretty bad. But and we had a wonderful, just a wonderful time with Randy and Deidre. I know they know a lot of people that we know and vice versa, and just good people. You all are lucky to have them with you. Very lucky to have them with you. A very hard worker. And then tonight, I got to stay or go over with a couple of the other ones here at Wanda's home, beautiful home, who I love dearly. I just love her, loved her husband, and I love her son, Robert, who led the singing tonight. Robert, outstanding job. And I'll tell you what, I've been treated royally. Jordan has been treated royally. Long time ago, some woman said, Danny, people don't understand this, and they don't, a lot of them don't buy into it, but they who do buy into it, they understand exactly that more is caught than taught. And what I mean by that, ladies and gentlemen, people can get up and we can give you a sermon. They want to see a sermon. It's more than from being right behind this podium. They want to see it in your lives. And that's what we're here to do. And we're here to venerate our God. And we're thankful. I have my sisters with me and some friends from up at Parkview, up in West Lafayette, Ohio. That's a pretty good jog, okay? Pretty good. We're John Gibson. I know you know who John Gibson. Dave has been up to Parkview and Vernon T. Garden. I know other of you all, Mr. Dykus, you guys, you've probably been all over that neck of the woods. Hey, I've been there too. That's where I lived for 18 years. And in fact, December 13th, 1981, Fred Shoemaker baptized me in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of my sins. And that's where it all started. Unbelievable. What a journey. But what a great journey. What a great journey. I loved that man and I loved his wife dearly. Love them dearly. In fact, I carry Fred's Bible that's been rebounded at different times because it's just completely worn out. But it's amazing what people can do when you take it to a bookstore, okay? Especially the price. But nevertheless, it's worth it. It's worth it. But I'll tell you, ladies and gentlemen, it's amazing. What we need to do is read these books. We need to read this Bible. We need to let it work in our lives. So I wanted to thank you all very much that you treated me and my son. And I would be remiss if I didn't tell you that. And I am thankful. Very thankful. The Bible says in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. I take that verse pretty literally. And I'm very happy that I was able to be here this week. Tonight I'll be going back home, be flying back out tomorrow night, going home and getting ready for this Sunday. So I appreciate it that you keep us in your prayers. And I want to tell you all very much how much I love the congregation here. Keep on glorifying God. Keep on. We are committed in choosing to make God smile. We always ask, how can I glorify God in this situation? That is the crux. That is what life is all about. There's no greater words from a podium that could be uttered than what I just said. None. Jesus, we love. Folks, there shall not any man be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with you. I will not fail you, nor will I forsake you. Recall those words in your recollection? A long time ago, back in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 5, that's what was told to Joshua. And I'll tell you, ladies and gentlemen, you know, we know what happened in Deuteronomy chapter 34. The great leader Moses is done. It's over with. But he prepared another one. His name was Joshua. In fact, Moses couldn't go into the promised land because some things happened along the way. We understand that. But I'll tell you what, he led him to it. Joshua took him in. And Joshua saying, also saying, Joshua chapter 1 and verse 7, you got to do one thing here. You got to be strong. You got to be strong. And then he would say it again, ladies and gentlemen, down in verse 9, you better be strong because that's what we need to be. And then we would understand that in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, the Bible would say, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You see, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against rulers of darkness in this world and against spiritual wickedness in high places. You see, the wiles of the devil is going to try to decimate you, and he does a good job. But he can't phase you, he can't touch you, and he can't cause you to go to hell if you keep Jesus in front of you and you live for him. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus gave his life up for you. I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Jesus lived in me. In the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and he gave himself for me. The good book was saying Galatians 2 and verse 20. So I pose this simple question to you tonight, brethren. How much do you love your God? Tonight, yesterday, a member asked me if I could do a different lesson. And I said, well, I can. Tell me. So tonight is not what we had on the bulletin or whatnot. We're changing gears. Now what that means is that some Sunday or some Wednesday, whenever I come back, we'll get the regular lesson I was going to preach tonight, okay? But that's okay, because this lesson that I put up together last night is very vital too. Very vital. And if I knew that Mr. Dykus or Vernon was going to be here, I would have called them and said, hey, tonight you're going to do me a favor. I'll just let you deliver this sermon, okay? Because that's how brothers and sisters work, is it? That's what we do. We bear you one another's burdens. And you know what we do when we bear burdens for one another? You fulfill the law of Christ. That is the essence of Christianity. That is what the gospel, the good news, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 through 4, is all about. Well, Robert Lettison tonight is very powerful. Back in the day, I'll tell you, ladies and gentlemen, back even further, even before Christ, I'll tell you, ladies and gentlemen, praises was sung to Jehovah God. It's always been that way. I'll tell you, and it should always be that way. And when you get to heaven, it will be that way. That's what it's going to be about. You will be extolling your God in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, praising, and you'll be making melody in your hearts to Him. We understand Ephesians 5:19 or Colossians 3:16, but we will understand it even better when He's in our forefront. Ladies and gentlemen, what if there is no resurrection? Can I just pose that to you for a second? Now, I'm not trying to be bombastic and use high language that you do not understand. The fact is, I want to do this in layman terms and facilitate it to the best of my ability for you so that you can understand what I'm about to say. So just give me, just for a very few minutes, your undivided attention, and we'll all glorify God together. Thank you so much, once again, for being a part of this congregation tonight. And I hope, my prayer would be that God would come this very hour. You say, don't say that, Danny, I'm not ready. Then get ready. Get ready. I would have nothing, I would love for God to come right now. In fact, when you read the Bible, you'll see that used quite a bit. God, come quickly. Ladies and gentlemen, we're not ashamed of our God. So if you are sitting here tonight, and I'm not using no scare tactic, not whatsoever. We don't need to do that. In fact, the Bible says in Ephesians, don't use threatenings. We're not here to threaten people. I'll tell you what we're here for, to love them. Don't that make a difference? What if there is no resurrection? But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and they will not faint. Isaiah 40 verse 31 said, how are you running tonight? What if there is no resurrection? Where's your mind at, ladies and gentlemen? What about it? Folks, there has been many times that I have been under a tent. And these preachers know exactly what we're talking about. I would hear preachers say this when I was a greenhorn, and I still am. I don't profess to be a gospel preacher. I profess to be a servant of God. But nonetheless, I've heard people say this in my little corner of the world, and many great preachers that I really love dearly, dearly, dearly. And they have taught me so much diligence about Jesus that it's unreal. But there has been many times that now how the patterns changes. A lot of my friends that were my great friends, they're not living now. But their message is powerful and it still lives within me. Under a tent with a coffin in front of me. In front of me. How many times have I stood in cemeteries offering comfort and words of God to those who have lost loved ones? I think you know what I'm talking about. We've all been there, ladies and gentlemen. We all have that in common. And one day we will be there. Unless, of course, Jesus comes back. Now then, as I'm on the other side of the casket, the thought popped into my head. And as I said, I've been thinking about this. And then when the individual asked me yesterday, and in fact, I thought about this, and I thought about, you know what? I'll just let the revelation come out. I've thought, what if there is no resurrection? Just suppose there is no resurrection. Suppose Jesus never arose from the dead. Think about it, folks. This is nothing new, what I give you tonight. But it is good. It's real good. Because when you preach the word, it's always good, ladies and gentlemen. So when I thought about that, I thought about what you would think about, I know. And we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Will you turn in your good books to 1 Corinthians chapter 15? And if you can, please do. If you can't, you just open those ears and hopefully you can hear me tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. On the way over here, at Wanda's and Robert's house, I've got a change and whatnot. I took my glasses off and busted them again. I brought a pair with me to get fixed, then I busted another pair, okay? I thought, what is up? So Robert says, I have a pair of glasses, but I tell you, you love them songs with no problem at all, Robert. I mean, so I'm using his glasses, and I tell you what, they're working great. Now look at this. It's in my mind anyway, okay? What I'm about to read, it's there. All right, so I'm good. But I want you to see it. Please see it with me. See it with me. And I might need to call on you to read it here in a second, okay? But just see it with me, ladies and gentlemen. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. What if there is no resurrection? Verses 12 through 19. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? That was posed to me yesterday. I knew exactly when they were talking to me. I thought, man, I got this covered. I wish it was always that easy. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is in vain. And your faith is also in vain. Yes, we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised? Kind of like a hypothetical question, isn't it? And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ, they are perished. And this verse has always struck me, you all. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have not named Jesus Christ as the Son of God, you don't know what life is about. Because you have been created for one purpose and one purpose only, to give God glory. That's it. That's it. Jeremiah 9 would attest that. Isaiah would attest that. Chapter 43, verse 7. And this will attest that. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Rhetorically? Oh no, Paul. Spiritually? He hit the nail on the head. You see, I do serve the law of God, but in the flesh I serve the law of sin. That's just the way it is. We need to understand the fruits of the Spirit, as we already talked about this week. We understand about how we need to add to it, do we not? We add to these virtues, these moral excellences. We need to tell God that, yes, God, we need your help every day of our lives. Folks, to help us appreciate Christ's victory over the grave, let's consider what the outcome of life and death would be without the resurrection. Oh my goodness. What a dark day. Oh, dreary. No resurrection. You're talking about a world being hodgepodged? You're talking about a messed up world? Folks, oh my, it's just, how in the world could it happen? Number one, first of all, Jesus would still be dead. We don't save a risen Savior, be a dead God. Wouldn't it be no better than all these other idols that people in the past, they worshipped and whatnot? Because they were idols and they were not alive, they were dead. They could not do no works in the Old or in the New Testament. People died worshiping their idols, and they die today in the 21st century worshiping their idols. We're not here to worship Allah. We're here to worship God. And there is a big difference in that, ladies and gentlemen. And if you're here, and if I said something that I shouldn't have said right there, I am telling you, I'm not here to condescend no one, belittle no one. No, I'm here to be loved. And I would like for you to talk to me back there if you have another faith or a denomination or whatever it is. Because I've been down that road. And some people took me under their wings. That was Fred and Joyce Shoemaker. And especially my wife now, who Dave loves me dearly. Of 32 years, actually this June 14th. He's still dead. That means our faith in him would be worthless. And our message to the world, what message? There's no message to the world. Your God is dead. Who wants to serve a living God or dead God, ladies and gentlemen? I mean, what's it worth? You're not going to get nowhere. I mean, no resurrection. He's dead. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 14. What more? Jesus himself would be proved a liar. He would be a prevaricator, habitual liar, since he claimed that he would rise from the dead. Is it not that what he said in Mark 9, verse 31? On that third day, did he not say that, folks? In the Gospel of Mark? He sure did. Number two, there would be no forgiveness. Oh, think about this. No forgiveness of sins? How in the world are we going to operate if we don't have our sins forgiven? And think about this. What shape would you be in then? And I'm still pondering in my life why there's some brethren that when you do ask for forgiveness, they don't want to forgive you. But we don't want to digress now, do we? I wonder if they're my brethren. Ladies and gentlemen, when God says that you forgive, you forget. It's over. Done. And if you don't know him. No forgiveness of our sins. Just think about that for a moment. Sad thought, isn't it? While we're in 1 Corinthians there, would you flip over to 2 Corinthians as he continues his epistle, his letter here? In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and look at verses 18 and 19 with me, will you please? Thank you so much. I love to hear the pages turning. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled. Think about that bringing together. You're not segregated anymore. There's no sequester here, ladies and gentlemen. The antithesis is this, is that you're not apart, you're together. You're not over there, you're joined. You got cohesiveness with one another. You got a continuity, ladies and gentlemen. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us to the ministry of reconciliation. Now watch this. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Drop down to verse 21 now. For he hath made him to be sin for us. You think about that. How dare us? God, while we were yet sinners, died for you and me, Romans 5, verse 8. How in the world? There's no one more in the world that I want to see than Jesus Christ. And we're ashamed of him? Who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Just think about that for a moment. I mean, wow, we need help. There would be no forgiveness of our sins. And then we come here. There would be no hope of heaven. Remember what the Apostle John said? We're in 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. And in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13, the Bible said, "These things have I written unto you that believe, unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." None of that. Forget that. There's no hope of heaven. I know what the Bible says in Romans 8:25, but if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. But there's no hope of heaven. There's no more heaven. You die, you're done, you know, and there's some people, they even tell you that anyway. I can't imagine it. But that's one of the reasons, you know, another perk, another spiritual blessing that we have in Jesus Christ, Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3, isn't it? We got a hope of heaven. And that's a wonderful thing. But no, there would be no hope of heaven, folks. And what we see here is that no possibility of reconciliation with God. And all deceased believers throughout history, they would have no hope. No hope. Just no hope. There's nothing there. Without the resurrection, there would be nothing positive for anyone to look forward to. But that's why the writer would say in Psalms 115 verse 16, "Blessed are they who die in the Lord," isn't it? That's something to rejoice about, isn't it? I mean, that's something to joy and rejoice and understand. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I mean, rejoice in the Lord always, because Paul say, hey, that's what we do. We rejoice in the Lord always, Philippians 4 verse 4. Ladies and gentlemen, there would be nothing to look forward to. But we have a joy, and no one can smother out that joy. Nothing. Cancer can't take that joy away from a person dying of cancer. Because one day, this body, this tent, this shell, this tabernacle, it's going to dissipate anyway. But your spirit will go back, okay? We will go to the dust, but God will take care of us, ladies and gentlemen. God will take care of us. And I'm waiting for that day. Folks, everybody's destiny after death would be a burning hell. That's what we have to look forward to. And isn't that what was said there? John? Jesus? In Revelations 21 and verse 8? So as we turn, well, we're very close here anyway, to Revelations 21 at the end of the book here, folks. In 21 and verse 8, "But the fearful," you see, those in Christ, you're not fearful, are you? No. You're not fearful if you're in Christ. Because there is no fear in love. But perfect love casteth out all fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. 1 John 4:18. You see, I sought the Lord and he heard me and he delivered me from all my fears. Psalms 34. You see, there's no fear. But watch this. But the fearful, the unbelieving, and the abominable, and the murderers, and the whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That's something to hope for. Die and be burned up. And yet, that's the reality of why we need to push so hard and do the best we can to let our light so shine before men that people may see your good works and glorify him which art in heaven. Matthew 5:16. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the flames that I believe that the Bible talks about are exactly what I believe the Bible talks about. Now, I've had my brethren tell me about symbolically, and that's okay. I understand the book of Revelation standing for something else. I don't have a problem with that. But I think when we see this great fire, this great torture, this great blackness, this great separation, it's going to be really, really bad, because he's not there, isn't it? It's going to be really bad. But when you read passages like James 4:7, "Submit yourself therefore unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you," that gives you a little bit of comfort. And when you look at Ephesians 4:26 and 27, "Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil." There we go again. We're ostracizing the devil. And we know 1 Peter 5:8. Now, come on now. Joyce Shoemaker taught me this a long time ago when I was 18 years old. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom maybe he devour. I mean, but ladies and gentlemen, what about this in Matthew 10:28 when Jesus said, fear not them which kill the body but are not able to kill a soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. You know who can do that? It's not the devil. It's God. Where are you at tonight, folks? Where am I at tonight? Oh, I know we're at Columbus Street. I'm asking you on your spiritual journey, where are you at tonight? What if there is no resurrection? Thank God none of these scenarios are true. Isn't that marvelous? None of these scenarios are true. Why that keeps on blocking, but anyway, our Savior lives. Think about it. He loves and He cares. And our sins are forgiven. Death has been defeated, and believers in Christ have assurance of eternity in heaven with Him. You talk about being joyous, that's why we're joyous for. I mean, now look with me back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The rest of the story, let's look at it, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, we understand that we don't serve a dead Savior. He is alive, and we are so thankful for that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 55 through 58, the Bible says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. And the sting of, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he would go on to say, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Now you can bet this, your labor, your work will not be in vain in the Lord, will it? Not at all. Folks, after considering how hopeless we would be without a resurrection, let's rejoice. Can we not? Can you show some joy? Can we show joy when we are preaching the word without being called charismatic? Can we show the world that, hey, the apostles were not identical? And I don't have your talents and you don't have my talents, and Jesus gave you yours and Jesus gave me mine. Can't we rejoice and work together and help save a dying world of degradation because Satan is using his own people, God's people, to destroy one another? And we've got to stop. Because you cannot serve two masters at the same time. It cannot happen. And we have to make sure that we have that mindset that Paul would talk about in Philippians chapter 2. Let's rejoice all the more in the greatness of our salvation. And that's what we say: to God be the glory. And I will end with reading Luke, and you know where I'm going with this. Luke chapter 24. And in Luke chapter 24, the Bible says this in verse 1 through verse 5. I'm in the Gospel of Luke 24. 1-5. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, that is the tomb. And they entered in and found not the body of our Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed, that means they were befuddled, they were puzzled, ladies and gentlemen, thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in the shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek you the living among the dead? Our God is alive. We serve a risen Savior. And that's the only thing that keeps me going. The only thing. He is risen. Why do you seek the living?
among the dead. Oh, I had to leave the podium. Thank you for being here tonight. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. Those were the words of Jesus, as I know you good Bible students know. But there might be someone here, maybe they have walked away from Jesus. There might be someone here who's never been baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of their sins, like they were a couple thousand years ago on a Sunday. On a Sunday, on Pentecost. Pentecost was always on a Sunday. And they gave their life to God. I don't know you and you don't know me. But someone does. And he cares. And that's why he would say, you cast all your cares upon him. Where are you at tonight, ladies and gentlemen, in your spiritualness? Thank you so much for being here. To God be the glory. Please come as we stand and sing.